We began work on 20 centuries of great preaching for a number of reasons. For one, we felt that the role of proclamation in the life of the church needs to be stressed. And when we first began writing 20 centuries, most of the books coming from authors were deprecating the role of preaching in the life of the church. A series of books decried the emptiness of the pulpit, the comfortableness of the pew, and talked about God's people as frozen. While we took these criticisms seriously, we felt that the same thing could have been said about almost any period in the history of the Christian movement. It's been interesting to notice that Peter Berger, perhaps America's leading religious sociologist, who wrote The Noise of Solemn Assemblies in the 50s, which was a trenchant attack on the smug and traditional Protestant churches of that time, reminded ecumenical leaders in October of 1971 that ages of faith are not marked by dialogue, but by proclamation. He insisted that there were very different ways in which this message could be delivered, as he stated in Time magazine on October 11th of 1971. But he insisted that what is now needed is the stance of authority, the authority of those who have come to terms with their own experience and who are convinced that in however imperfect a measure they have grasped some important truths about our human condition. It's our feeling that that is precisely what the preachers in 20 centuries of great preaching have done. And it is our hope that those who will read and study the common qualities of the great effective communicators will come to the kind of proclamation that Berger feels is so essential to project the Christian gospel in the 70s. There was another reason, too, for writing 20 centuries of great preaching. We felt that there was an unmet need, a gap on the library shelf. There were books of sermons, homiletical textbooks, books concerning the role of preaching, and various biographies of preachers, though most of these were long since out of print. There was nothing in existence, however, which put all of these into one usable package. And so we felt that a work of this sort could put into the hands of every concerned Christian the kind of work that would provide a study in the life of the great ministers of all denominations, the way that he prepared his sermons, samples of these sermons, an analysis of the strengths and weaknesses of this method, coupled with an index that would allow anybody to study the various phases of preaching either by text, by subject, or by homiletical divisions. We also felt that 20 centuries of great preaching could show the interrelation of proclamation and ministry. The church has had a difficult time keeping a balance in this area. In previous days, there has been an overemphasis on words rather than deeds, but perhaps lately, there has been a neglect of the significance of words with reference to deeds, and that these must always be balanced in an effective church. As we got into our research, it became quite clear that the effective Christian ministers were effective in both communication and in ministry. They did not stand on the sidelines and play it safe while they urged others to be involved. They tackled tough topics, they got involved in controversial issues, and they urged others to follow in their path. And finally, we became interested in trying to determine what common factors were present in the preaching of these effective communicators. We felt that it would help contemporary preachers if we could show them how the effective preachers of the past had carried out their proclamation responsibility. Prior to the publication of 20 centuries of great preaching by word, there was really no other publication comparable to it. It is unique in a number of ways. Never has a set of books contained articles on 95 preachers, including a summary of their lives, an analysis of their preaching, a photograph or portrait, sample sermons, and bibliography for further reading. There have been histories of preaching, biographies of preachers, anthologies of sermons, and analyses of sermons, but never have all of these been put together in one set. Only a very ancient work, Fish's Pulpit Eloquence, which was published in 1856, is even vaguely similar. And there it has incomplete sermons and a brief page on the preacher. In 20 centuries of great preaching, none of the sermons are abbreviated. The index volume finally makes this work more distinctive because of its extent, the manner in which it enables a person to move through the lives and sermons of Christian communicators from the standpoint of text or subject or illustration. Another first in the index is the homiletical index. This enables a person to study various phases of preaching under the classical homiletical headings and to find the best examples of effective Christian communication since the time of Christ. In summary, then, as we have looked at preaching through 2,000 years of study, we are sometimes asked if there is any period in the past that seems comparable to the period in which Christian preachers find themselves today. In other words, could a preacher major on studying one period to his profit in our contemporary situation? The answer is that no period is directly comparable. Many writers have stressed the absolute uniqueness of the period in which we find ourselves. And yet we feel that many of the same features that characterize our day have also characterized previous eras. Preaching has consistently moved through periods of ups and downs. There have been times when preaching has been greatly stressed, other times when it has been completely neglected. Many times people have said preaching is through, the church is dead, there is no real future in the Christian movement. And then there comes a resurgence, a kind of renewal, and proclamation has gained attention once again. It should be noted that in almost every age, effective communicators of the Christian faith have existed. In every age, there have been those, frankly, who have been ineffective, alongside of those who have been very effective. Our age probably contains no fewer effective Christian preachers than any other, and has at least as many problems. If you look at the cycles through which this process has moved, you can see these patterns: search, discovery, excitement, routinization, boredom, decline, and search. Hopefully, the day in which we find ourselves is one proceeding out of decline and into search. And perhaps through a study of these preachers, some may be led to discovery and even to excitement.
I think it ought to be pointed out that 20 centuries of great preaching contains a vast variety of material, and if you'd take your set and look at it, I'd like to just point out some of the features of it which will help you become familiar with it and make its use more efficient for you. You will notice that each of the first 12 volumes contains a chart. The fold-out chart will show you the relation of the life of the preachers in that particular volume to the historical period in which they lived. It also will show you the relationship between the life of each of the preachers insofar as the length of that life and some of the key events which happened for those in the volume. Then in each of these first 12 volumes, there are a series of articles on the 95 preachers who are included. The articles are divided into six sections. The first section contains the portrait of the man. These portraits were collected from all over the world and came from rather strange and interesting places in some instances. They were taken from the walls of churches, found in the drawers of ancient libraries, discovered in the personal effects of family members, and after years of searching and writing and traveling, this is the most extensive collection of such portraits in existence. The second item in each article is a summary of the key events of the man's life. This will provide you at a glance an indication of what key events figured in his life, the span of his life, and something of a brief summary of his accomplishments and achievements. The third main section is a study of the man in relationship to his life and the times in which he lived. This section majors on his home background, his education, his early ministry, the churches or the kinds of work in which he labored as a Christian minister, something of the effects of the times on his own life and something of the effect of his life on the times. This, in most cases, is a very intriguing section because you begin to see these men as persons with challenges and problems and difficulties, as well as all of the glamour of their achievements. The fourth section is an analysis of the preaching of each man. This is a unique feature of 20 Centuries of Great Preaching in that each man's preaching is analyzed insofar as why he was an effective communicator, how he prepared his sermons, the methods he used in different aspects of sermon preparation, and something of the evaluation of how his effective techniques could be utilized by others. The fifth section is a collection of selected sermons, usually four to six for each of the men. There are 411 sermons in all. Some of these sermons are original translations. A number of them are in print for the first time, and many of them have come from old books which are now out of print and are inaccessible to the average person. The sixth aspect of the article is a list of suggested readings for further information and study. This enables a person who finds great interest in one particular man in 20 Centuries of Great Preaching to pursue that interest in more detail and depth. The 13th volume is distinct. It contains no articles but is an index. It has been labeled the text topicon because it enables a person to work from a text to discover illustrations and subject matter on those texts, as well as working from a topic to discover subject matter and illustrations on a particular topic. But actually, the index volume deals more with texts than topics. It is a unique tool, the only one of its kind in existence, and makes 20 Centuries of Great Preaching not just a collection of sermons or articles or even a set of books, but makes it a workable and usable tool for persons in ministry. The index volume contains six separate indexes, one on subjects, another on scriptures, another on persons, another on sermons, another on homiletics, one on illustrations, and finally an alphabetical listing of all the Christian spokesmen who are included in 20 Centuries of Great Preaching. This index volume gives immediate access to thousands of helpful pieces of information. You'll find some rather intriguing and in some ways surprising bits of information through the use of the index, as well as through just glancing through 20 Centuries of Great Preaching. You'll find, for example, that Origen, who lived in the 3rd century, preached on the subject of black is beautiful, and you'll discover that Charles Finney, the famous evangelist, was an outspoken critic of slavery. You'll also discover that Walter Rauschenbusch, the famous leader of the social gospel movement, spoke often of the importance of evangelism, and that Charles Spurgeon, noted as an evangelistic pastor, led his church in extensive ministry and social action projects. So the index will lead you to practical ways as well as just to interesting sidelights and bits of information about these 95 great preachers.
It should be noticed that there are two distinct emphases within the work. In addition to the biographical material and the sermonic material, the careful reader will notice a very extensive reference to ethical subjects. It is possible, by using the index, to find material on almost any ethical question that might confront the contemporary mind. It would be possible to find examples of these questions discussed in the preaching and writing of individuals from the time of Christ until our own time. This is coupled with an equal emphasis upon the technical aspects of homiletics or preaching, so that not only can a preacher or a layman examine the content, the ethical emphases of the ministries of these men, but it will be possible to study the specific methods of preparation, the steps involved in preparing sermons, devotionals, oral addresses to challenge the minds of Christians on all of these very distinctive topics.
For example, take the subject index. If you'll turn to page 84 in volume 13, you'll find there that the page begins in the upper left-hand corner with Greek tragedy, which is the first subject discussed on that page. It ends with happiness. In between, subjects are discussed, such as growth, guilt, habit. Under each of the listings of subjects, you'll find subheadings, cross-references, and the reference to each place in the 12 volumes where you can find a discussion of that particular subject. Note also that whenever a listing is in italics, that entire sermon is devoted to that particular subject. For example, under grief, which is cross-referenced, see also death, suffering, you find a listing excessive at death of, with Chrysostom, volume 1, pages 70 to 79 in italics. That means that all of that sermon by Chrysostom is on the subject of excessive grief at the death of a friend. The subject index will enable you to study all of the subjects included in the 12 volumes and the related subjects under each of those for sermon preparation, devotionals, Bible studies, and so forth. The second main index is that of scriptures. This index lists the references in the 12 volumes of 20 centuries of great preaching to all 411 sermons. And you will notice in the index of scriptures that each book of the Bible is listed. There are hundreds of scripture references indicating how different Christian spokesmen dealt with the scriptures and precisely where in the set that discussion can be found. This will provide you with quick access to various interpretations of hundreds of passages of scripture. For example, if you'll turn to page 214 in volume 13, the index volume, you'll discover there a number of scriptures for Genesis, which will enable you to study in Genesis the different interpretations and writings by preachers such as William Temple and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, John Broadus and Martin Niemöller. You'll also notice here that whenever a reference appears in italics, that an entire sermon is given to a discussion of that particular scripture. For example, if you will look under Exodus at Exodus 32:24, you'll see there a sermon by Brooks, which indicates that the entire sermon is on Exodus 32:24. A third main index has to do with persons. This merely gives you a way of finding out what is said in the various volumes about different people. The persons listed are not only biblical, but also from secular history. It will enable you to study the persons of the Bible and also the interrelation of great persons in secular history and the relation of great persons to the great preachers. For example, the relation of Winston Churchill to William Booth is discussed in volume 5, page 206, of Karl Barth and Dietrich Bonhoeffer in volume 12, pages 95 to 96, of Benjamin Franklin to George Whitefield in volume 3, page 108. It will also provide you ready access to biographical illustrations for speaking and writing on the lives of these different people. If you'll turn in the index volume to page 229, for example, you'll see that the persons are listed alphabetically, and at the bottom of the page, there's a listing for Karl Barth. Under Barth, you'll find Augustine's influence on him, Calvin's influence, the influence of Barth on Bonhoeffer, and a very moving statement by Barth, "Jesus loves me." This is a reference to an illustration in which at a meeting Barth was asked what the most important thing he ever learned had been in his whole scholarly pilgrimage, and after a while he paused and said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Then there are some references which are more related to sermon building on homiletics, the sermons themselves, and illustrations.
Let's look next at the index of sermons. On page 256 of volume 13, each of the 411 sermons is listed alphabetically by title. The volume number, again, precedes the page number. For example, Phillips Brooks' famous sermon on the death of Lincoln, entitled Abraham Lincoln, is to be found in volume 6, page 125. This index lists alphabetically the 411 sermons. It affords a convenient study of different types of sermon titles, and it provides a reference tool to locate a sermon if the title is known and the preacher is not, such as the sermon Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, or But When Life Tumbles In, What Then?, Every Man's Life, A Plan of God, or Christians in Spite of Everything. These may be familiar titles, but who wrote each of these sermons? Let's take an example of one of these sermon titles. On page 263 of the Index of Sermons, you will find the title, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. In italics, there's listed the name of the preacher who delivered that sermon, Jonathan Edwards. The volume, volume 3, the page number, page 56. Another index of great help to the minister is the homiletical index. This index is found on page 266 of volume 13. This index makes possible the study of any phase of sermon preparation from the thought and practice of the world's leading Christian spokesman. In fact, it provides a short course in preaching through a first-hand study of discussions and examples of every aspect of preaching. And these examples are taken from the recognized great preachers. For example, it would be possible by using this index to study life situation preaching with Fosdick, Peel, or Peter Marshall, to study expository preaching with McLaren, Lloyd-Jones, Calvin, or G. Campbell Morgan, to study evangelistic preaching with Wesley, Whitfield, Finney, Moody, Booth, Spurgeon, or Graham, to study ethical preaching with Rauschenbusch, King, Dale, Gladden, Savonarola, to study devotional preaching with Brown, Jowett, Brooks, Stewart, or F.B. Meyer, the great doctrinal preaching of Karl Barth, or of Liddon, McCartney, Luther, Calvin, the illustrations of Marshall, Guthrie, Borum, Luckock, and Sangster, to study conclusions with Sockman, Buttrick, or Stewart, delivery with Shoemaker, Niles, Truett, Wesley, Sheen, or the method of outlining used by Buttrick, Sockman, Studdard Kennedy, or Clovis Chapel. To examine any of these questions with reference to the construction or delivery of sermons, turn to page 266 at the beginning of the homiletical index. Entries are arranged alphabetically and also by preachers. So, for example, if you are interested in studying the question of application in the sermon, the first subdivision is that of contemporary application. Contemporary application, then, is studied from Barth, Graham, Jefferson, Niles, Sockman, and Stewart. And opposite each of these names, again, is listed the volume and the page number. Or, to study authority. Biblical authority can be studied from Karl Barth, from Buttrick, from Fosdick, Graham, and others. If you're interested in introductions, turn to page 274 of the homiletical index. There, you can study examples of introductions as done by Jefferson, Jowett, and McCartney. The function of the introduction can be studied from Fosdick, Kennedy or McCracken. Then if you turn to the reference listed, you can discover, for example, in Volume 7, page 45, an introduction from one of Jefferson's sermons, The Man at Bethesda. Or another example of an introduction from Jefferson's children's sermon entitled Fun. Again, if you wanted to study from Clarence McCartney, Volume 9, pages 116 and 117. On page 116, you would find this statement. Perhaps Come Before Winter is his greatest sermon. It has received higher critical acclaim than any other. The introduction to that sermon gives an indication of its excellence. And portions of the introduction are then quoted. Finally, then, the index of illustrations provides help for the preacher or the layman at one of the most pressing points in the preparation of religious addresses, and that is at the point of illustrations. Ministers struggle continually to find apt illustrations for their sermons. Laymen preparing for devotionals are struggling continually to find adequate ways to introduce these subjects in an interesting manner to their hearers. On page 289 of volume 13, the index of illustrations makes it possible to locate illustrative material from the sermons and the biographical studies in the 12 volumes. Material is arranged according to subject. Over 4,000 separate entries are listed on illustrations. Cross-references make it easy to use. For example, under commitment, you can see also consecration or dedication. This index gives references as well to outstanding phrases in the set, such as corn-fed Midwestern morality play in Volume 7, page 224, Creed for Heroes, in Volume 12, page 86. The statement, Mother doesn't want him to take up religion yet, in Volume 12, page 82. Or, I have a dream, Volume 12, page 357. Or, Let God be God, Volume 10, page 97. In contrast to the standard books of illustrations, 20 centuries of great preaching indexes these illustrations in context. It allows you, as the reader, to see these illustrations in the light of their original use, so that the usual criticism, this is a canned illustration, is not true of this index. Turn, for example, to page 310 in the index, and you will find here an example of illustrations on faith. It is cross-referenced to belief. Abiding faith is described. Faith achieved through breakdown. Faith in adversity. Loss of faith is described in Volume 10, page 278. And this provides an interesting illustration and an example of the use of this index. Notice on page 278 of Volume 10, this excellent example from the preaching of George Buttrick. Twice he marveled at faith and the lack of faith. But why should unfaith jar him? Nowadays, unfaith is the fashion. Then Buttrick goes on to say, our century is a deformity among the centuries, the only one, at least in the Judaic Christian tradition, in which faith has not been the main axiom of life. In the Middle Ages, debts were sometimes made payable in the next world in what would seem to us a very dubious risk. And then this use of poetry. Matthew Arnold deplored our century as he stood on Dover Beach. The sea of faith was once too at the full, and round earth's shore lay like the folds of a bright girdle furled, but now I only hear its melancholy, long, withdrawing roar, retreating to the breath of the night wind down the vast edges drear and naked shingles of the world. So Jesus was surprised at an unnatural thing, unbelief, and the pride that had fathered it. Countless other illustrations can brighten, enrich, and picture the thoughts which the minister or layman might choose to employ in their preaching or their devotional use. 20 centuries of great preaching can be of help to a variety of people. Preachers, laymen, teachers, librarians, families, and authors will all find the set a great benefit to them in their work. For example, all who preach will find 20 centuries of great preaching to be of great practical help to them in preparing their sermons. In the general reading of the set, preachers will find inspiration as to the importance of preaching. They will see how different preachers have handled various subjects and issues. They will find a source for thousands of illustrations for sermons. They will be able to check the various ways preachers have handled different texts. They will be able to improve on their preaching by studying how the most effective communicators of the Christian faith have prepared and delivered their messages. The use of the index volume will make for a more efficient, better, and faster sermon preparation. The scripture index can guide the preacher to examples of the methods used by great communicators in developing the texts of their sermons by seeing how these texts have been handled by other preachers. The subject index will guide the preacher to various discussions on the subject of his sermon by various preachers. The illustration index will guide the preacher to specific illustrations in 20 centuries of great preaching. These will be of great help in relating his subjects to various issues in the contemporary world. The subjects and illustrations are indexed both from the biographical sections and from the sermons. This provides a wealth of material and information from more than one point of view. Professors and teachers of different subjects will find 20 centuries a great help. For example, speech and preaching teachers will find in 20 centuries more than 400 samples of sermons which demonstrate different methods and approaches to preaching. The homiletical index allows a study of the various aspects of pulpit address by 95 of the most effective Christian communicators in history. One can study introductions, conclusions, outlines, illustrations, voice, delivery, and a variety of other subjects. Under topics such as these, the homiletical index lists discussions in the set either by preachers or by these subjects. Therefore, one not only studies the theory about how aspects of pulpit address should be done, but you can also see samples of how these different phases of preaching have been handled by the most effective communicators. Religion and theology professors will find the set helpful in studying the lives and sermons of the great theologians. It is possible to study theology from the sermons as well as from the books of the leading theological writers.
Ethics and sociology professors will find 20 centuries of great preaching helpful in studying leading ethical and social issues and the lives and sermons of the Christian spokesmen included in the set. This provides both a historical approach and a systematic approach to subjects such as family, the state, war and peace, race relations, and social change. It is possible, from the use of the index in conjunction with the other 12 volumes, to study different ways in which churches have functioned and ministered in various periods of history. History professors will find 20 centuries of great preaching helpful in a number of ways. The set contains numerous primary documents for historical study in the form of sermons. Also, reading the set will provide insight into the characteristics of the various periods of history. Not only the biographies, but the sermons themselves have many references to the peculiar practices of different periods of history. Also, famous sermons which figured in great movements of history are included. The index of proper names and the historical charts can be used by students and professors of history to see how preaching and the life of churches have been related to historical movements.
Authors will find 20 centuries of great preaching a great help in research and discovering biographical information, finding illustrations for specific subjects, and gaining access to the thought of a variety of persons on subjects and issues. The index volume provides easy access to thousands of illustrations, quotations, and personal anecdotes which can be of great use to the writer.
Families can make use of 20 centuries of great preaching in more than one way. By using the subject index, for example, a study can be made of what leading Christian spokesmen have said concerning family life. Specific studies can be made about the nature of marriage, the role of sex, husband-wife relations, parent-child relations, and the role of family in the church and society. Families can also use 20 centuries of great preaching as material for family devotional readings to gain historical perspective and appreciation of the leaders of the Christian faith in the past and in the present. Wives of preachers will find 20 centuries helpful. The set will help them to understand their husband's work much better. They can read about the role of the wives as effective ministers and learn how they can help their own husbands in ministry. Wives can use the set for personal devotions, and wives can also use the set in preparation for devotionals, Bible studies, and talks for various purposes. The pastor's wife will also discover that if her husband owns and uses 20 centuries of great preaching, he'll have more time for his family since he'll have to spend less time on sermon preparation. In general, 20 centuries of great preaching can be used to improve preaching, Bible study, devotionals, and other aspects of life. It can be a time saver. It can make study concerning specific subjects more efficient. It can aid persons attempting to gain an understanding of effective communication and the place of proclamation in the life of the church. It can help all readers gain perspective concerning the role of preaching in history. But let's be more specific. How can 20 centuries of great preaching benefit and help you?
Here's how 20 centuries of great preaching can help you in proclamation. 20 centuries of great preaching can help the Christian spokesman in the preparation of sermons, devotionals, other addresses, articles, essays, and books. Here are some ways it can do this. If you have a passage of Scripture you want to develop, first, look it up in the index of Scriptures in the index volume, volume 13. Turn to the references given and read the material there. Second, look up the subject with which the passage deals in the index of subjects and the index of illustrations. Turn to the references given and read the material there. Third, if the passage contains a person's name, look it up in the index of persons. Turn to that reference and read that material also. Here's an example of how to use 20 centuries of great preaching when you have a text. If you plan to speak on Romans 8, 28 through 39, notice these references. Romans 8:28, sermons by Broadus and Shoemaker. Romans 8:31, a sermon by Niemöller. Romans 8:38-39, sermons by Niebuhr and Weatherhead. Then read these references given. Next, read Romans 8:28-39 and note what subjects are dealt with. Jot these down. For example, love of God, predestination, justification, election, the called, Christ's death, the cross, atonement, love of Christ, persecution, trouble, death, love for God. Look up these topics in the index of subjects and the index of illustrations. Turn to and read the references listed and check the cross-references. Finally, since Romans 8:28-39 was written by Paul, look up the references to Paul in the index of persons. Turn to the pages listed in the index and read the material. For example, on page 248 of the index of persons, the expression baptized into Christ by Paul is described. Paul compared with Napoleon, Paul's dreams of Spain, and so forth. On the other hand, suppose you have a subject that you want to develop. Look it up in the index of subjects in the index volume. Also, check the subject in the index of illustrations. Turn to the references given and read the material there. If a more exhaustive study is needed, check the cross-references also. Here's an example of how to use 20 centuries of great preaching when you know the subject you wish to speak upon. For example, if you plan to speak on the Christian home, turn to the references on home and home life in the index of subjects. On page 91 of volume 13, the subject of home is described. Notice, for example, Graham and his discussion on the home, Christ First for the Home by Meyer, The Church in the Home by McCracken, God and the Home by Buttrick, The Highest Welfare of the Home by Truett, and Home Life. Then look up the references, especially those references to whole sermons. As you read the references, you will gather thoughts, suggestions of development of the subject, and illustrative material. For added information, look up the topic in the Index of Illustrations. On page 319 of volume 13, in the Index of Illustrations, many illustrations are listed on the home. The blessings of a Christian home, Bible study in the home, changes of our personality in the home, Christ first for the home, and so forth. But suppose you have a sermon, devotional, or speech that you have used previously and would like to rework. Take its subject and follow the same procedure suggested when you have a subject, or take its text and follow the same procedure suggested when the text is known. But what if you have nothing? That is, you're not sure of a subject, you're not sure of a text. Ask yourself, first, what time of year is it? What special holidays or events are coming up? If it is Easter, for example, look up subjects under Easter, Resurrection, Crucifixion, and Christ. If it is Memorial Day, Death, War, Sacrifice, Labor Day, Labor, Business, Economics, Daily Work, Thanksgiving, Appreciation, Gratitude, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Incarnation, Christmas, Birth of Christ, New Year's, New, and New Year's. Ask yourself also, what's going on in the church? If you're having a stewardship emphasis soon in your church, look up subjects such as stewardship, possessions, or materialism, an enlistment campaign, evangelism, revival, witness, church. But suppose there are no special events in your church, and suppose it is no particular holiday in the nation. Then ask yourself, what's going on in the city, the state, the nation, or the world? If the world is focused on economic troubles, look up economics, business, taxation, daily work, or labor. If your people are particularly concerned about war, look up war, peace, revolution, international relations. If it's a time of elections, look up social problems, government, voting, state, citizenship, or politics. What about youth emphases? Look up generation gap, childhood, home, youth. Drug abuse may be in the news. Look up drugs, alcohol, tobacco, lawlessness, crime, punishment, justice, and law. All of these subjects and others can be readily located by use of volume 13. Or ask yourself this question. Which of the various aspects of Christian doctrine have you not spoken on lately? Suppose it's been some time since you spoke on the subject of salvation. Perhaps you would like to preach on new birth, regeneration, or eternal life, all of these topics to be found in the index. The subject of God. Look up creation, the love of God, wrath. Man. Look up body, soul, life, or time. Ask yourself perhaps this question also. What issues and problems are people facing? And try to be as personal and specific about your own congregation as possible. And then look up in the index of subjects these subjects to stimulate your thought. Adversity, alcohol, death, depression, failure, gambling, greed, temptation, suffering, and so on. Ask yourself, what needs do people have? And in the index of subjects, you may find these subjects: love, humility, happiness, and peace. But suppose you have difficulty in getting this material organized. Then use the homiletical index to help you organize this sermon or this devotional. For example, in the homiletical index, look under organization and outline and find an example of a simple outline from Fosdick in volume 9, pages 21 and 22. After you have the content in hand for a sermon, address, devotional, or article, there remains the very practical business of getting this material organized. And 20 centuries of great preaching can be of great help in this manner. Suppose you have difficulty with the introduction of the sermon. Look under introduction and read the references there. Check examples of good introductions and the various types of introductions. If you have difficulty with the conclusion, look under conclusion, and you will find a number of examples on page 268 of the homiletical index to help you more effectively conclude your sermons or devotional addresses. In addition, a continuing reading program in the lives, preaching, and sermons of these 95 leading spokesmen will spark creativity and afford insights into the means of improving oral communication of the gospel. The reading can be a random selection of material, or reading chronologically through 20 centuries of great preaching. Or a program of reading built around the homiletical index may help. For example, if you take the subject of preparation, you can read how different preachers prepared their sermons. And this regular program of preparation may give many suggestions about the particular order of preparation which you follow in your own preparation of sermons or your writing of devotionals.
20 centuries of great preaching can help in Christian growth. 20 centuries of great preaching contains some of the world's finest devotional material. It presents in the biographical studies examples of how Christians can overcome obstacles to Christian growth. It supplies inspiration to move toward Christian maturity, and it enables the reader to locate material quickly on specific problems and aspects of the Christian life. Here are some suggested ways on how to use 20 centuries of great preaching in your own development of Christian maturity and in Christian growth. Browse through the pages, reading selections at random from biographies or sermons. Or begin with the first volume and read through to the last volume, one man per week. In approximately 2 years, you will have covered the history of the Christian movement through the lives of its most significant spokesmen. Or organize your study around the development of the Christian life and read selections taken from references in the index of subjects. Here's a suggested outline to follow: God, man, sin, grace, love of God, Christ, incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, salvation, conversion, repentance, faith, regeneration, Holy Spirit, Christian life, kingdom of God, church, prayer, worship, service, witness, ministry, evangelism, mission, social concern, social action. Each one of these is listed in the index of subjects. Or you can develop a study around the problems to be overcome in Christian growth. Read selections taken from the references in the index of subjects. Here's a possible outline to follow based on some of the entries in the index of subjects: temptation, selfishness, pride, greed, materialism, jealousy, anger, doubt, envy, evil, fear, guilt, prejudice, temptation, and vanity. Or you can build a reading program around the virtues to be developed in the Christian life. Read selections taken from the reference in the index of subjects. Here's a suggested outline to follow: love, joy, peace, patience, righteousness, hope, compassion, happiness, charity, self-denial, courage, forgiveness, honesty, self-control, sympathy, wisdom, zeal. Each one of these is in the index of subjects. Or follow a study outline based on issues Christians must deal with in daily life. Read selections taken from the references in the index of subjects. Here's a suggested outline based on some of the entries: alcohol, business, citizenship, controversy, criticism, daily work, decision-making, depression, drugs, economics, family life, friendship, government, health, housing, injustice, justice, labor, law, money, politics, poverty, property, race relations, religion, responsibilities, recreation, science, sex, social problems, sports, voting, war, wealth, world, each of which is listed in the index of subjects. Or as specific problems arise in your life, use the index of subjects to locate material dealing with that particular problem. Read the appropriate material in the references.
20 centuries of great preaching likewise can be of help in Bible study and teaching. It provides examples of a variety of approaches to the Bible in general as well as to specific scriptures. It enables the reader to discover how leading Christian spokesmen have interpreted the Bible, and it gives ready access through the index of scriptures to comments by Christian leaders on hundreds of passages of scripture. Here's a means by which you can use 20 centuries in your Bible study. Read through the Bible using the index of scriptures to gain access to comments on the passages you are reading. Any place in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
20 centuries of great preaching can also be used to benefit you in community service. You can study how the Christian spokesmen of the past and of the present dealt with community issues and problems by reading the references under social concern and specific listings in the index of subjects. Also, you can see what the Christian spokesman had to say about key community issues by reading the references under social action, social change, social concern, and social issues, as well as specific listings of issues in the index of subjects. Particularly helpful in the subject index is the fact that you can gather insights and illustrative material for addresses, sermons, and articles by reading the references under specific listings on community problems such as race relations, drug abuse, poverty, pollution, and government. By using 20 centuries of great preaching in this way, a Christian can become familiar with what great leaders in the past have had to say about these issues, gain insights into how he can today tackle these subjects, and find inspiration on trying to see that God's will is done in some way in today's world.
20 centuries of great preaching presents scores of examples of creative church programs. It makes possible a study of great churches through their relation to the Christian spokesman included in 20 centuries of great preaching. And it enables the reader to study specific phases of a church program, Christian education, worship, ministry, social action, or evangelism. And it shows the way church programs have changed during the centuries to meet the needs of a changing world. How can you benefit from the material in 20 centuries of great preaching to strengthen your church? Read the articles about the men who were effective churchmen and notice the characteristics of their ministries. Locate these articles by looking up the references in the index of subjects under pastor and in the alphabetical listing of preachers for the specific person to be studied. And you may explore what spokesmen included in 20 centuries of great preaching have said about various aspects of the life of the church. Suppose you're concerned about worship. In the index of subjects, look for these topics: worship, prayer, and preaching. If you're concerned about Christian education in your church, information on that can be found under the headings of Christian education, education, Bible, and Sunday school. Evangelism is discussed under evangelism, revivals, and witness. The role of laymen under the topics laymen and the Christian life. No doubt in your own use of 20 centuries of great preaching, you'll discover many other uses for this material. We hope that these suggestions have prompted your thinking and that by reuse of this material, listening to various sections of it, with your books open in front of you, you will be able to discover the many helpful features that have been planned and built in to the writing of this particular set of books.